Hey.
Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter number 1 for the preaching of God's word. If you can hear me, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very good. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll go there for the preaching of God's word. I'm thankful for the Bible. Amen. Glad I got a copy of God's perfect, preserved, potent, powerful, precious word. Amen. And any other P word you want to put there. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope, no peace within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong. And then he placed me on his winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. I praise my Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near. And in him so often I confide. God's telling me he's amen. That's God's amen right there. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave him full control. And he played, devil don't like hearing that, does he? And he placed me on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on. Somebody got to rejoice on that right there. The winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. I praise my Lord, I'm on his winning side. Amen. Even if the devil wants to cut the lights out, God cut the lights back on. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews. We're already there. Chapter number 1. I'm so thankful that every single day that I get up, I've won. Why? Because God is already in my tomorrow. Amen. I can trust. I get scared to death every time I preach, overwhelmed by God's grace. So thankful for the opportunity. It's a weight on my very young shoulders, spiritually and physically young. And I struggle with trusting God, as we all do. Then I look in the Bible where he said, I am. I am. Not was, not going to be, but am. It doesn't really, you can't wrap your mind around it grammatically. In other words, tomorrow, I am. Next week, I am. So why don't you just trust me, because I'm already in that pulpit with you. Because I'm already there. I wasn't there yet, but God's already there. So we can trust him because he is. He is. Amen? And I think it's a good thing to wake up and go ahead and rejoice in the fact that you're on the winning side. We know the end of the story. The devil doesn't like to hear it, but God does. And I'm so thankful that I'm on the winning side. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse number 8 with me. And then I want you to go over to Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll look at three more verses. And then we'll get into the message this morning. So thankful to be here. So thankful that I'm saved. Amen. Look at verse number 8. This is the Father speaking to the Son. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, now this is the Father speaking to Jesus, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, now this is God the Father talking to Jesus, even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Look at chapter 5 with me, or chapter 4, excuse me. Verse number 14. Seeing then, once again, talking about Jesus, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. I wish I could walk up to Pope Francis and read this verse loud and clear in his satanic earhole. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Yes, the throne of grace. The throne where God sits. Amen. Amen. That we may obtain mercy. Let us therefore go to the confessional booth that we may obtain mercy. It does not say, let us therefore go to His Holiness, the Pope Francis, to obtain mercy. No, it says because Jesus is your high priest, you can go straight to the throne room boldly. If this wasn't in the Bible, this would be a blasphemous thing to say. But you can do it because of Jesus, boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, which we need, amen, and find grace to help. Raise your hand if you ever needed help. Whew. I'm glad we can go to the King, amen, and find grace to help in time of need. It's going to be hard to get this in 25 minutes, but I'm going to do my best. I'd like to preach a message entitled, Prophet, Priest, and King. Prophet, Priest, and King. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your word. Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm on the winning side. God, I come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise and graciousness in my heart to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you looked down at me, God, and you didn't leave me where I was, but you snatched me up out of the pits of hell and you set my feet on a solid rock. And I'm so thankful for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, you know that I'm overwhelmed right now, Lord Jesus, that I cannot get this powerful message across in and of myself. So I pray, God, that you'd take me, cleanse me of my sin, empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit that I may be a blessing to these Thy people. God, I need your help. Lord, you know I'm not going to do it in my own power, in my own ability, God, but I need an unction to function from the Holy Spirit Himself. I pray right now that when people leave this church, they wouldn't think, what a church. They wouldn't think, what a preacher. They wouldn't think, what a pastor or what singing we heard today, but they would think, what a Jesus, what a prophet, what a priest, and what a King, what a Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd use me to magnify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We know that Hebrews is the Jesus is better book. Amen. Jesus is better. The message that I have been called and that you have been called to relay to the whole world is quite simple. It's Jesus is better. Jesus is better. The missionaries we support and send around the world, their message to each and every person they come across, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what race, no matter what religion they might ascribe to, is the message is this, that Jesus is better. Jesus is better. And they come with 66 books written by 40-some men over a period of 1,600 years who all wrote together to get across one message profoundly, beautifully, powerfully, perfectly. They got across one message, and the book of Hebrews tells us that in the volume of the book, it was written of Him, talking about Jesus. The message of Christianity is a person, not a place, not a thing, not an idea. But the message of Christianity is a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. I am still amazed by Jesus. We get so used to Him that we lose our amazement of Him. Those hymns that you read, the reason those are so powerful, those were written by groups of men and women that never lost their amazement. Jesus Christ never lost His twinkle in His eye to them. It's as if they looked into the very face of the Son of God and saw His grace and His mercy and saw Him for who He was. And the book of Hebrews gives us a very powerful insight into the, what I like to call, the offices of the Son of God. You know, Jesus did, you can study from now until the day you die and for all eternity, and you will never quite wrap your mind around what Jesus has done and who Jesus is and what He's going to do. Amen. We've got enough in Jesus to do us. Amen. And my message to you today is simple. Jesus is better. He's the only, before I go on, you've got to understand this. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is God wrapped up in flesh. Jesus was not just another man. Jesus was not just a guru. Jesus was not just another prophet or another priest or another king. He's the prophet, the priest, and the king, and the only one who had the power and the ability to hold all three of those offices at the same time. And here's the kicker. We needed him to, and we still need him to. The thing about Jesus is this. He doesn't need anybody. He wants everybody. We need him, but we don't always want him. Because you're the only creation that he made that he gave a choice. The lion has no choice. The tiger has no choice but to do what their instinct tells them to do. To do what the Creator created them to do. But he saw fit to give us a choice. And I'm telling you this morning, there is no better choice but him. C.S. Lewis said in his biography, he wrote about his salvation experience. He called it Pilgrim's Regress instead of progress. Because he came from the other direction all the way back over, from an atheist to a Christian. And he said that, I finally realized that I had not come to a place or an idea, but I had come to the feet of a person. And that person was Jesus Christ. You'll never run from the personhood of your life. Your life's about people. My life is not about me. I decided that a while back. My life is about one person, Jesus Christ. And he has satisfied my longing soul. And he's been satisfying souls for thousands of years. And he'll satisfy yours today. Amen. And the blessing you get from studying his offices, I'm telling you, I've been studying them. It's unparalleled. You'll find yourself, I'll look at this stuff and I sit back in my seat and just look up and think, wow. Because you cannot lose your amazement. What will change this church and change this community is if we got back to being amazed by him. By him, by Jesus Christ, not by talented preachers, not by talented singers, not by nice clothes, not by all the hoopla that we throw in there, but by him, by Jesus. You want to last in this Christian life, you must come to him. You must come to him. He's the only one who could do that. What's the first one? The prophet. Did you know Jesus is the prophet? Notice, if you're taking notes, his office as prophet. Raise your hand if you ever heard the word prophet. Okay, good. We know we have an idea what a prophet is. I'll tell you the prophet's purpose by way of a subpoint here. The prophet's purpose, you remember in the Old Testament, was to relay God's message out to man. Now follow me here. When I get to the end of this, it may be 2:00. But when we get there, you'll be glad we got there. Trust me. You may have a shouting fit. It may surprise you a little bit when we get to the end of this thing. Listen to me. I'm going somewhere. He's the prophet. A prophet's purpose, like I said, he's God's representative to man. Amen? Here's a prophet's definition. An inspired man or spokesperson for another. Amen. It also means a divine representative. A prophet shows men and women God's message. Jesus revealed God to man. He came for three reasons. It was to be prophet, priest, and king, and everything that goes in with it. To be prophet, the first reason he came was to show God to man. Do you realize this morning that you would have no idea who God was or how God was if Jesus had never came? Jesus was God's prophet. I'm telling you, he was. And the prophet's purpose was to show man how God is, who God is. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a particular specific message. But Jesus' particular specific message was the essence of God, the nature of God, who God was. He was God. Isn't that amazing? He was God walking around, and his purpose was to reveal God to men. Wow. I'm so glad I know who God is. I looked at the map down there this morning, and I thought, wow, there sure are a lot of people in the world. And I thought this. I said, I sure would feel pretty small if the Creator wasn't my best friend. I know him because of Jesus. That's the only way I could know him. That's the prophet's purpose. Now notice this. The prophet's promise. The prophet, he's the only prophet that's got this. The prophet's promise. Take your Bibles real quick. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. I'm going somewhere. The book of Acts, chapter number 3. I really want to get to the king part. So I'm going to go as fast as I can to get to the king part. That's my favorite part. I don't know, the priest part's pretty good too. I like this part. Acts chapter number 3. Notice the prophet's promise in verse number, let's look at verse number 22. For Moses, he said this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18. I could. It would take me forever to get all this. It's amazing. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet, talking about Jesus, shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. God said, I'm going to raise a prophet and he's going to be like me because he is me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever ye shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Every single prophet up to the birth of Jesus Christ had talked about the prophet. Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus is better. Jesus is better than every single prophet you want to name. Jesus is better because he wasn't only telling the truth. He is the source of all truth. That's why when he was a 12-year-old little boy, he could walk into the synagogues and teach them. Because he's the very source of the truth that they were teaching. Why? Because he's the promised prophet of God. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ revealed God to men. That's amazing. The prophet is promised. It's clear this prophet is the very Son of God. Jesus is, I want you to get that in your mind when you leave here. Jesus is better. No other prophet had ever been promised like this. And there is no other prophet that held more than one office but prophet. But Jesus wasn't only a promise. He proved it. Jesus proved that he was the prophet. He proved it by his anointing, meaning that God had given them the authority to be the prophet. You find that in Isaiah 61:1. 700 years before his birth, Isaiah says he has been anointed to preach, talking about Jesus. Why? Because he's the prophet. You name me somebody else that was talked about 700 years before they came. 700 years ago, they weren't talking about me. Talking about him. Why? Because he's the prophet. Not just a prophet. He's the prophet. So he proved it by his anointing. He proved it by his activity. Everything Jesus said and did was and is true and will be true forever because the book of Psalms says before Jesus came that his word, talking about Jesus, is forever settled in heaven. It will be true from now until the end of time and then after and for all eternity. I believe I will have a King James Bible in my lap in heaven, still rejoicing over the fact that Jesus is the prophet. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing him face to face. He's the one. He proved it by his anointing. He proved it by his activity. Everything he said is going to happen, it's going to happen. Everything he said that had happened, it had happened. And everything he did was real and was true. And everything he said lined up with scripture. Like this. Jesus is the prophet. He proved it by his activity. He proved it by his accuracy. Number two, notice this. I'm trying to rush to the king part. He's the priest. He's the prophet. But number two, notice, this is one of my favorite ones too. He's the priest. The priest. Not only is he the prophet, but he's the priest. What are you talking about? Look at the Bible. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now, the writer of Hebrews is telling us how you be a priest. What are the qualifications? Who can have compassion on the ignorant? Aren't you glad Jesus has compassion on the ignorant? And on them that are out of the way. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't care if you're out of the way? He'll snatch you up and put you in the way. And then it says this, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. That's amazing. Notice, the prophet. Remember what the prophet was? God's representative to man. Remember that? I'm glad we needed that. We needed to know who God was, right? Say amen, right? We needed to know who God was. And so Jesus came to show us who God was. He was the promised prophet. The book of Deuteronomy tells about him some 1,200 years before his birth. He was the promised prophet. Okay, notice number two. He is the promised priest. The promised priest. Jesus Christ came to be the high priest. Now, why is a priest? A priest is man. Representative to God. So Jesus can look at you and say, here's God. And then he can turn around and say, I'm standing up to them. That's how God can be just and justifier of those who believe. But you see, Jesus Christ said this, the good shepherd comes to lay his life down for the sheep. To lay his life down.
for the sheep. Up until that time, the shepherds had been taking sheep. And you had to poke them and prod them to give them on the altar so that you could make a sacrifice for your sin. But when Jesus came, this wows me. You didn't have to poke him or prod him or try to battle him and get him and buffet him to get him to go to the altar, to the cross, that evening at Calvary. But Jesus Christ said, I lay my life down for him and I have power to take it up again. But because you have to have a priest, you have to have somebody to live. You've got to have somebody that can represent you to God. And there is nobody else that's good enough. Muhammad is not good enough. Buddha is not good enough. Pope Francis is not good enough. But Jesus is good enough because why? He's better. He's better than your worldly desires. He's better than your sports. He's better than everything that you put in the way of God. Jesus is better. Whether or not you accept, I like it because it's true. Which means whether or not you accept or not, guess what? It's true. Jesus is better, and we needed him because we need a representative. Why? We were dead in our sin. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 that the sacrificing of bulls and goats and rams, they just couldn't do it any longer. That God wasn't satisfied anymore. Somebody had to come. You see what I'm saying? Somebody had to come and satisfy God. And that person was not the Pope, but it was Jesus Christ. The priest. The priest. The priest. Abraham, give me your son. Abraham in his faith. Isaac, you gotta go and sacrifice something. Okay, get the wood. Halfway up the mountain. Dad, what's the sacrifice? Abraham says this. God will provide. God will provide. Come on. I can just see the tears coming out of his and Isaac's face as he grabbed his little boy and laid him on that altar. And rose up. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord, which was Jesus, the Christ offering, study that. The angel of the Lord stopped him and provided a sacrifice. That ram was a temporary sacrifice. A couple thousand years later, on a hill not too far from that hill, Jesus Christ, the one who stopped the blade, didn't stop the blade that was coming at you. You see, he'll stop the blade that comes at you. But he didn't stop the blade that came at him. And he allowed that blade to hit him back. That dark, dreary evening they hung on the cross. You see, up until then, the sheep had died for the shepherd. But that evening, the shepherd had died for the sheep. And he is the priest. If you look at Hebrews chapter 5, you look at it real quick. Verses 6 through 10, the Bible shows us how Jesus lined up with all four qualifications. The first one, he had to be taken from the people. Jesus was of the, he was of Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. He was taken from the people, just like the priest had to be. The second one was the priest had to be anointed. We know that Psalms tells us that God was, that Jesus was set in that position. The same word in the Hebrew is he was anointed. Jesus Christ, when he was baptized that day with the Holy Spirit, he was anointed by God to be the priest for me and you. So he also hit that qualification. He had to be of the line of the priest. He was of the line of Melchizedek, the priest. Jesus fulfilled that. And number four, he had to sacrifice. He had to make a sacrifice. And he had to be able to connect with people. But you see, Jesus took upon human nature. He did. He did not take upon sin nature. And he kept his God nature in order to make that sacrifice. And instead of taking a lamb and doing it, he was the lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. No priest had ever given his own life for anybody up to then. Why? Because that imperfect blood of that priest was no good. But the perfect blood of that priest, the priest, was good enough. Amen. And that's how God's wrath was satisfied. Isn't that awesome? The priest, Jesus Christ, is the sacrifice. Once for all, he was dying once for all. He came, you know who's on the earth? Jesus preached on borrowed boats. He said the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a penny to his name. When it came time to pay the taxes, he said, Peter, go catch a fish. The first fish you see will have money in his mouth. I've never paid taxes like that. I don't think anybody else in here has. Yeah, that's how Jesus paid his tax. Because he created the fish, and the fish was what he wanted. If he wanted money to be the fish, the money would be the fish, because he made the fish and he made the money. It's easy for him. You go. Yeah, that's Jesus. That's awesome. And so Jesus borrowed that. He borrowed this. Even the tomb he laid in was borrowed. But the one possession, Paul, this tickles me. The one possession that Jesus Christ had, the only one, the cross. When he clung to that cross with blood streaming down his back, the one who created heaven and earth, God Almighty, clung to that cross and put his beaten, battered, swollen cheek up against the splintered wood of that old cross. He said, this is my only possession. And the Bible says that it pleased God to bruise him. And I believe a little smile came across that precious priest's face that day because he was fulfilling his will to save mankind. What a priest. What amazes me that he would die for me. What a priest. He is. We need him. Why? Who else will represent you, God? You think God is impressed with hope? I don't want no man kissing my feet or my hand or anything else. Stay away from me. But I'll go to the feet of him one day. And if he'll let me, I'll kiss his feet. Why? Because he's the priest. And he let me in. Because he came for everybody. That's right. Everybody. And he let me in. Me. He let me in. Number three. I'm going to have any time on this one. I've already had any time. I've had to go quick.
Number three. Notice his third office. He's a priest. Yes, he is a priest. He meets all the qualifications. Yes. Two aspects of it that he meets. Sacrificial and intercessory. Intercessory. You got to get this. This is cool. After Jesus Christ died and ascended, he's still your high priest in heaven. That's why you're saved forever. Why? Because he's still pleading your case as we speak. When you mess up, Jesus pleads your case. When you can't pray, he prays for you. When you're down and out, Jesus is there for you. And he's pleading your case. That's a good thing. Because if he ever quits pleading your case, you're done for. But nuh-uh. He's still there. He's your high priest to this day. Amen. And that's why you can go right to the throne. Why? Jesus is there. At the right hand of the Father, he conquered Satan. He's the priest, the prophet, and the king. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Some of the most amazing, profound verses in all of Scripture. I'm going to read them again. We're going to get into this and we'll go to the house. Verse number 8, the Bible says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. Revelation 19:16 gives us an amazing thing. What did the plaque say above Jesus' head when he was on the cross? Can anybody remember? Think about it. The plaque said this, here is the king of the Jews. So, he had revealed God to man as the prophet. He had died on the cross as the priest, representing you to God. And above his head, he wore a crown of thorns that called him the king. The king. Revelation 19:16. I'm looking forward to this day when I get to see this. It says this. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. King of kings and Lord of lords. He must be of the tribe of Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah. That's what Jesus was. He was of the tribe of Judah. And he must be of the line of David. Jesus was on the line, was of the line of David. Jesus is both of those. Romans 1:3 tells us that. 2 Timothy 2:8 tells us that. The book of Matthew chapter 1 tells us that Jesus Christ was of the line of David. And he is king by his divine authority. Verse number 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. Anybody ever laid the foundation of a house? Some of y'all do some of that work that Brother Bob Lane does. You laid the foundation of a house? Yeah. Try the whole universe. That's what Jesus did. And look what it says. And the heavens are the works of thine hands. You see that star that you see that's beautiful? You know what Jesus did to that star? I want it over here. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. That amazes me. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And when everything's gone, guess who's still going to be there? The one who made it, Jesus Christ. And they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. Wow, it's like clothing to him. It's just his possession. He's the king of all creation. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Wow, he's king by his divine authority. He's the king of all creation. He made everything that you see. Jesus made it, and he owns it. It's his. He's the king of all creation. That's why the Bible says that rocks will cry out if you don't cry out. Why? Because the fact that the rocks are there is a testimony to his power. Why? Because he made the rocks. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that the creatures of the deep that we've never even seen before are a testimony of the power of the Creator God. I'm so thankful that he is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, and I don't have to be scared of Obama and what's going on at the White House and all the mess you see. I don't have to be scared. Why? Because the one that puts breath in that heathen's lungs is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's my best friend. The fact that this king allows me to know him amazes me. He's the king. The king by his divine authority. All is his. So he has authority over it. If you build it, guess who it belongs to? You. If I was to build a chair, it's mine, unless I sell it. Jesus never sold anything. He never sold the earth. It's his. Belongs to him. Remember in the book of Joshua, Joshua was in a tough spot. You know what Jesus did? He stopped time. Why? It's his to stop. The Bible says he stopped the sun and the moon and the sky. Stopped the earth from rotating. Just put his little hand on it. Stop it. Isn't that amazing? And we don't trust him. We won't come to church faithfully and live right and trust him. Why not trust the Creator? He's the king. He's a king. I love this. He's king by his divine authority. He's king by his divine appointment. He was anointed to be king. We know this. He was king through. Remember when he was born? What they treat him like? Remember what they treated him like? A little baby? They treated him like a king. And the wise men came when he was just a toddler. And they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen. Representing gold, representing he was a king. The myrrh representing that he was going to die. Isn't that awesome? He was prophet, priest, and king right there at his birth already. Before he was even born, he was already prophet, priest, and king. This wows my mind. King by his divine appointment. He's king through all time. He was king at his birth. He was king before and after and during his life and after his life here on earth. He is king over the church by his word of and spirit ruling through the hearts of men. He is king by divine authority. He is king by his divine appointment. And I like this one. He is king by his divine apparel. Revelation shows us this. He wears a golden crown. Who wears crowns? When you see it in the history book, the king, he's got a golden crown. Yeah, he's got a golden belt, golden girdle that he wears. I'm so thankful he's the king. The crown shows his royalty. The girdle shows that he is the king. He also has, the Bible tells us, a scepter. Who has a scepter in the history book? Who holds that scepter there in the picture? The king does. The king does. And God has a scepter of, Jesus has a scepter of righteousness as the king, showing his sovereign authority over all creation and over all the worlds. And also, guess what else he has? This is where I come in. He has servants. He has servants like a king. And I'm one of those servants. But listen to me. He's not just royalty. He's not just any king. He is a king that literally gave up his throne and gave up his dominion in heaven and came down and was born in a manger and bled and died just so you can know who he is. Houston, you have a right to love her, and she has a right to love you. That's given to y'all at birth. You have a right to fall in love. Anybody else here that's in love? Thankful for guys loving girls and girls loving guys. Amen. Amen. You have a right to do that, but when you were born, it's great to believe that this is true. You had no right to love the king. You had no right to love him. So the only reason, this amazes me, he came to die just so I could love him back. That's how much he loves me.
Amen. Amen.
God, I know him. I can't wait to see that set. That's cool. That's cool. That's awesome. I'm so glad that I'm your servant. I'm so glad. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to go around doing my cup with it. The king is going to serve you. Is this not wild you yet? He's king by his divine authority. He's king by his divine apparel. And notice this, and lastly, and I'm going to have me a good time.
He's king by his divine attributes. Notice, he is a king. Guess what? Guess what kings do? Good kings, what do? They conquer and defeat the enemy, right? Isn't that what kings usually do? They're conquerors. There has never been a conqueror like that king. There will never be a conqueror like that king. You know, nobody in this room has ever come in direct contact with Satan. You may believe you have. You never have. He sends his demons after you. Satan can't be in two places at once. He's very quick moving to and fro throughout the earth. But he cannot be in two places at once. And to think that you're special enough for the devil to be fooling. That wasn't the devil fooling of us this morning. It's just one of his little annoying little pests that he sends after us. Jesus Christ came in direct contact with Satan. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted. And Satan came after him. But what Satan had, I think he was trying to put out of his mind, was the fact that, guess who created Satan? The king. And guess who owns Satan? The king. And Satan couldn't go anywhere unless Jesus said he could. And Satan couldn't do anything unless Jesus said he could. And you can't do anything unless Jesus says you can. And the fact that he saw fit to give you freedom to come into the house of God and worship him should wow you to the point that you can't move. But we have forgotten, because of our stupidity, that Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Jesus Christ is still king. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be in America. I have freedom to read my Bible. I have freedom to worship my Lord. I have freedom to have these blessings, food, and clothing. We take it for granted because we have forgotten that he is a king. He didn't have to give you any of that. None of it. He didn't. It's the kind of king he is. He allowed me to be his servant. Wow, it amazes me. By his divine attributes. Now, it was this. He's the king. Well, this is the king. I had a shout with it when I saw this. And yes, who is an heir to all he has? Guess who's an heir to all that Jesus has? Guess who it is? Woo! Guess who is an heir to all that he has? By the way, he's loaded. Transparent gold he walks on. You name the jewel, it's in his name. He's got a scepter. I don't know what that thing looks like. A crown. He wears gold. And guess what his coat says? King of kings and Lord of lords. Woo! And guess who is an heir for all he has? A little good for nothing country boy born in Bluefield, West Virginia, grew up in Athens, West Virginia, blessed beyond measure. But he's so much more than that to Jesus. This is the last thing you can say to him. He is a man. Why? Because he showed me who God was. And then he represented me to God. And if I believe in him, I'm one of his. So you're one of his servants. You're one of his people. And he's different than the other king that's ever lived. He's not going to run you dry and work you. No. Because he's more than just a king. He's also your father. And your priest. And by adoption, he's your father. If your daddy runs the world, you're in good shape. Amen. Is this wowing you yet? My father owns everything here and everybody. Cattle on a thousand hills is. And the taters in the hills. Amen. He's my king. Galatians 3 tells us that he's your heir. It's all that's in the Bible and New Testament. And we are joint heirs. Remember that? Joint. Heirs with Christ. That's the last thing that he did. But he did. Because that's what he came to do. He came to give you who he was. That's why the Bible says, I am his and he is mine. I'm in him, he's in me. We are together. And so when you go to heaven and the blood has been applied to your account, emergency, which he did after the priest.
the king accepts you because he's also a priest. You see this? That's the only way it can be done. God says, the only way I can justify you is if I do it myself. So I send my son to do it. See? 100%. So, you look at the king, and the king's like, you're good. Why? Because I sacrificed for you. He knows. Is this why we need it? Somehow he balanced all three of those. We need him. We need him. He's the king. So next time, to get a little doubty up in here, which we tend to do, next time you get a little scared of what's going to happen in the future, next time you think that the devil's demons has got you beat, remember, on his vesture it reads, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And remember that you can go straight to that king, bow before him, and he lends his ear to you as the king. The throne upon that he sits upon, the crown upon his head, he also has a sword, which king has a sword, while he has that king. He's a conqueror. And he defeated the devil for you and conquered death, hell, and the grave for you. But you may want to hop in that demon while you still can. You may want to hop in that demon while you still can. Because guess what else he is? He's coming back again. He's a returning king. He's not going to be born again this time. This time he's coming on a horse. Then he's going to have a scepter out, that sword out, and he's coming. And if you're not one of his, you won't be in trouble. But I'm not. I'm going to set his feet of the audience and say, we'll have a barrel of lemonade with the dip, and nobody's going to come in this call. Change out lemonade to sweet tea on day. Amen. Go to Daniel's drive through, let it run dry. Just keep going through. And never get fat. Frosty machines everywhere. God's like, you're satisfied with wings. I don't want any wings up here. Here you go. I'm looking forward to heaven.
Hey.
Not because of the cross, you see, but because I get to see the king. Not a king. No. Not a king. The king. And every single king that's ever ruled this earth has to control it. Like rivers of water, the Psalm says. The king. He has dominion and power. I've been studying the presidents. Now some of them got more power than others. None of them will ever, no man can ever reach the magnitude of the power that Jesus Christ has. Why do you think demons crumble before him? And I'm scared of it. Satan literally, if you read the book of Job, I'll quit right here. I'm just enjoying this. If Satan had to come to him like this, I think this is Satan walking. You remember it? Book of Job, walking through his presence. And Jesus says, Satan, are you? We get scared of stuff. He's a king. He rules Satan. That wowed me when I first realized it. We give Satan too much credit. We give the world too much credit. They can't stop the church. They can't stop the king. The king can't stop him. He made everything. I can't wrap my mind. Y'all may have wrapped up my mind around it. I can't. And here's what I really can't wrap my mind around. The fact that I'm one of his servants. And I'm part of the kingdom of God. We read that in the Bible and just jump over it. That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I'm awestruck at my king. And I hope that you leave church today awestruck that Jesus is better. Because he's the only one who could ever be prophet, priest, and king. And he's still king. And he's still your priest. There's a new heaven, ruling and reigning. And one day, we're going to get to rule and reign with him. You name it, it's going to be amazing. Marriage stuff all over the land. Anybody ever been in here, been invited to the King of England's house for dinner? Nobody here. Anybody here ever been to an emperor's house for dinner? Nobody here has ever been to an emperor's house for dinner. Or king. Well, guess what? Because of the priest and the prophet, and because of the blood, you're going to get to go to the king's house. I go to prepare a place He looked, the king of all creation looked at 12 stupid fishermen, a couple of publicans, a bunch of wicked, crazy, uneducated idiots, and said, I go to the very place for you. Because a priest is kind to you. Thank you all for that. I hope you leave today awestruck by Jesus. Stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You want to come and pray to the king, you can come and pray to him.
And tell him how awesome he is. These altars are open. We'll sing a word of invitation here. I'll turn it over to you. These altars are open. There may be somebody in here today that does not know that king. And you're not part of his kingdom yet. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. The king is going to also be the judge of all creation. Of all people. If you're going to get through, you've got to have the blood. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. These altars are open.
Every head bowed and every eye closed as the pianist is playing. Only trust Him. Maybe you've never trusted Him. You've heard about Him, but you've never put your complete faith and trust in Him. Or maybe here today you are saved, but there's something in your life. And you need to put your trust in Him again. Say, Lord, I want to trust You. Put my faith in You that You're going to see me through. Maybe you got some fears and trepidation. You want to give it to Him? He's prophet, priest, and king. Nobody like Him. You know that, but maybe you just need to come. Why don't you come? Only trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed. If you're oppressed this morning with sin, you want to get a victory over it. There's only one way to get victory, and it's through our Savior, Jesus Christ. I wonder, when you come? Some are praying here at the altar. We'll give you a chance to come. We're going to sing in a moment. Close. Maybe here today, you don't know, you've never trusted Christ. We'll give you an opportunity to do that. Somebody can show you too how the Word of God, through the Word of God, how you can be saved. You come to trust Him today. When you do that, only trust Him. You must put your faith and trust in Him. To trust means to rely exclusively upon. Let's take our hymn books, 277, please. 277. Let's sing together. If nobody comes, we'll close. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Surely